Today's year, the Daf Yomi is Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Tezayim. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Mrs. Kaplan, Shendel Bas Rev Moshe. We're also learning Le'ilui Nishmas Ellen Weinstein. All the Nishmas we learn for should have a layer from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim B'mheira. They should be Shalom Alor of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the two dots about 10 lines down from the top of Tezayin Umud Aleph with the words Pshita. It's where it says it's clear, it's Poshut, that Zabna, we're dealing here with a robber who stole property. So we've been using Reuven, who stole property from Levi, and then he sold it to Shimon. But then he actually acquired the property from Levi. So now he legitimately is the owner of it, and we had brought down yesterday that Rav had Paskin. In that situation, when Shimon purchased from Reuven pre the ownership, when Reuven was just the ganav on it, so then Reuven had sold him all of the rights to it, and we had two reasons. We had Marzutra's reason, we had Ravashi's reason. Marzutra had said, that he shouldn't be called the ganav, and Ravashi had said, because he wants to maintain his stellar reputation. So that was the reasonings that we had said, that if Reuven just acquired the property from Levi, he can't go and claim it back from Shimon. Now, however, here, in our case today, after he got the property back, he sold it to another person. He now sells it to Yehuda, Zabna, or Orsa, or he gave it over to one of his sons as a Yerusha, or Viava Matana, or he gave it over to someone else as a Matana. Now, in this situation, clearly, Lav Lo'okmo Kamei Lo'keach Kobay. He clearly isn't doing this in order to go and make sure that Shimon definitely has it. He's in fact not giving it to Shimon, he's giving it to somebody else. And as Rashi brings down over here, in this situation, when he's giving it to somebody else, he's clearly showing that he doesn't want Shimon to get it. And therefore, Goli Date, he's revealing the Lav Lo'okme Kamei Lo'keach Rishon Boy. He's not doing this in order to go and give it over to Shimon, but he's giving it over to this Yehuda. And Rashi says he doesn't want the Leikum Behemunuse, that it should be like Rav Ashi, that he wants to be a trustworthy person, he wants to be known as having a stellar reputation. Shari Markul Hashem, because he gave it over now to this Yehuda, to another person. Now, why doesn't Rashi say the Pshat of Marzutra, that he doesn't want to be called the Ganav? In fact, the Ramban says the reason is because he doesn't want to call the Ganav. But Tosus brings down a little bit later in the Daf, but we'll see it over here now, in Dibra Masul, Arze Kameh, he says, Mashma Dohachi Hilchasa, that we're paskening via Rashi, is alluding to the fact that we're paskening like Rav Ashi, as I pointed out yesterday, that we pasken over here like Rav Ashi. Hilchasa, Midelo Nokat Lishna Delo Nikraya Gasla, from the fact that we don't mention later on the Gemara, and that's why Rashi Mistama doesn't mention it over here, the sheet of Marzutra, we only mentioned the sheet of Ravasi, that he wants, Ravashi, that he wants to maintain his stellar reputation, and not that the fact that he doesn't want to call the Goslin. And furthermore, Tosus points out what I pointed out yesterday, and what again I said today, we pass like Ravashi. Why do we pass like Ravashi? Davi Basra, because he was later than Marzutra, and we have the rule amongst the same category of people. For example, amongst the Amoraim, we normally have the rule Halachi Basra, because the later authority, Mustama knew the rationale of the earlier authority, and yet he's arguing with him, so therefore, we pass in Kibasra. And likewise, Tosus says, V'godlo b'chokhlo v'minyan. Ravashi was the conclusion of the Gemara. Ravina Ravashi, they were the conclusion of the Gemara. They were very, very great. And therefore, they were godlo b'chokhlo v'minyan. And that's why, in this situation, we don't go and mention the Shita of Marzutra. We just mentioned the Shita of Ravashi. In any event, that's what the Gemara says. Lav l'ukbe kameh lo'keach kubay. He clearly is not doing this to establish it as Shimon's. And therefore, he's giving it over to the Yehuda, the second person, and that is something that he has the right to do so. This wasn't acquired by Shimon when Reuven goes and gets this from the original owner of the field, the Nigzal, Levi. What happens if Nafu Levi Yerusha? What happens, unbelievable as it sounds, Reuven actually stole the field, let's say, from his father or from somebody that he inherits. So when he stole it from Levi and then Levi dies, now Reuven inherits this field, which he had stolen and then subsequently had sold it to Shimon. That now he inherits it. So again, the question is, does he, as Rav had said, give over those rights to Shimon? Or no, since he didn't do anything now, this came to him Menela, so therefore he doesn't give over those rights to Shimon because he's not interested in establishing a stellar reputation for himself. So the Gemara says, Nafalei b'Yerusha, Yerusha Menelehi. It comes by itself. He didn't do anything to demonstrate that he wants to maintain a stellar reputation. V'la'viyu kotara habasra. He didn't go and seek it out. He didn't go and do anything, any tircha, any exertion to go and get this field. He inherited it. And therefore, the rationale of Rav Ashi explaining Rav to say that when he sold, Reuven sold it to Shimon, he wanted to go and establish himself as trustworthy. There's no reason to think that in this situation. Likewise, Gavei Ihu Bechovo. Let's say Reuven had stolen this field from Levi, but it turns out that Levi actually owes him money. And now he finally goes and reconciles with Levi and he says, listen, you owe me money. I'll take this field in lieu of the money that you owe me. So now he's collected this field as a debt. So here, do we or do we not say Rav Ashi's svara that he wants to establish a stellar reputation? He got this field in order so that Shimon shouldn't call him a gazlan, or that's what Rav Mazrucha said, or that he should have a stellar reputation. He's known as a person who's trustworthy. So we have to go and see. Chazina. We look into this and see. E is le aro achrite. If, in fact, Levi had other property, and when Reuven now took this specific field that he had stolen, it was because he bedafka wanted this field, then the Omar hai beina, I want this field. That's obviously lo'okba kamei lo'keach kabai. He wants to show everybody that he's an honorable person, and therefore he's bedavka taking the field that he had stolen, and therefore he doesn't have the right in that situation to go get it back from Shimon. However, vi lo, so if there is no other field, so this is the only field that he took, so then zuze, who the boy iporui? He just wanted to get his money back, and lo'davka that he wanted to demonstrate that he's a trustworthy person. Next case, Yava Nile b'matana. What happened if, after Reuven had stolen it from Levi, don't ask why, but Levi says, okay, I'm giving it to you as a matana. Obviously, these are cases that didn't necessarily happen, and it's teaching us principles over here. So if Levi now had given to him as a matana, so this is a machlokes, do we or do we not say, like Rav Ashi in this situation, that he's doing this to establish his reputation as being trustworthy, and therefore he can't get it back from Shimon? Or no, it has nothing to do with that, and he could get it back from Shimon. What's the machlokes? So, pligibo Rav Ach and Ravina. Rav Ach and Ravina, they argue in the following way. Chadamar, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar, matono kirusha, that the matono comes mimeila, just like the irusha comes mimeila, daha mimeila. He didn't matriach himself in any way, and therefore he wasn't demonstrating that I'm getting this in order to Shimon should consider me a trustworthy person, and therefore he would be allowed to go and get it back from Shimon. The other one, either Rav Ach or Ravina, said v'chadamar matana kemecher. No, we view this like a mecher, and he bedafka wanted to get this field in order that he would establish himself as a trustworthy person, and therefore he can't get it back from Shimon. The lav d'tarach v'artze kamei, because it wasn't a fact that he bedafka went and back and forth to show, Levi, I'm a nice guy, and please give it to me as a matana. And he bedavka wanted to get this field as a matana. He didn't go and trouble himself to go get this field as a matana. He wouldn't have gotten it. Lo havi yod le matana. From the fact that Levi eventually gave it to him, it must have been that Reuven put in a lot of effort to bedavka get this field. Why? In order to demonstrate to Shimon that he's a trustworthy person. Lo hachi tarach v'yartzi kamei. That's why he was matriach himself, and he tried to go and get Levi to give it to him. He worked very hard at it, and therefore, ki hechi delekom behemanuse. And this was obviously done in order that he should be established as a trustworthy person. This is what Tosus brought down before, that this shows us that Rav Ashi's reasoning rather than Mazucha's reasoning is the correct reasoning, that he should have a trustworthy name, he should have a stellar reputation, and not so that just Shimon shouldn't call him a ganav. Okay. Now the Gemara goes back still to this sheet of Rav that says if he was matriach himself to go and get this field from Levi, so then he doesn't get the right to go and get it back from Shimon because, like Rav Ashi had said, he wants to establish a stellar reputation. So the Gemara asks, "V'yad emas nichole delekum be'munuse." At what point in time do we say, "Well, now that he got it back, it no longer is because he wants to establish himself as a trustworthy person"? Like, have you a statute of limitations over here? Has it gone so far that at this point we don't say that? So we have three opinions. Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, "Ad shas hamod b'din," that we say that he's trying to get it back and establish himself as a trustworthy person. Rav Huna says, "But just until hamod b'din, once he takes him to court, once he takes him to court, in that situation, no longer do we say that if the ganav Reuven tries to get the property from Levi, that he has sold those rights to Shimon, up until the time that Levi takes him to court to get the property back from Shimon. So then if Reuven tries to get it, he's demonstrating he wants to be trustworthy and he's doing it for Shimon, that Shimon should be able to keep the property. But once he's taken to court, so then, ad shas hamod b'din, at that point in time, we don't say that Reuven is trying to make himself a stellar reputation to be trustworthy. But no, if he gets it from Levi, it's because he wants to take it back from Shimon. That's the first opinion. The second opinion is, Chia Barav, Rav's son Chia. Chia Barav said, Omar, ad demota Adrachta liyode. We had said previously, Adrachta is the document that Beis Din establishes. Rashi says, Ashechayivu Beis Din lefroa lelokeach ma'osav. That this is the document that Beis Din says, no, you have to go and pay him. Shimon, you're entitled to go get your money back from Reuven. And they write, Va'amad b'merido, and Reuven says, no, I'm not going to pay him back. Ashechasu psak din v'nosu lelokeach al mechosav shel gazlon. So this adrachta says you have the right to go and take this property from Reuven wherever it may be to pay up the debt that he owes you. Up until that point in time, if Reuven had gotten the property from Levi, so then it meant because he wanted to establish himself with a stellar reputation. But once they went so far as to write the adrachta, so then he's no longer interested in stellar reputation. And in fact, if he gets the field from Levi, if he does acquire it, so then he would have the right to go to Shimon and get it back from him. And the third opinion is Rapapa. Rapapa mar admaschulon yome achrizosa. So we know that after they established that Shimon is entitled to go get his money back, so then they announce for a 30-day period of time, so-and-so's field is being sold, and whoever wants to buy it, take a look at it, and we'll have an auction, and we'll go and sell off this field. The highest price, the highest buyer will go get it, so get the maximum money for it. So at that point in time, when that period of time is done, the 30-day period of time starts when they're making the announcements, so then at that point in time, if Reuven goes to get the fields from Levi, so then he obviously isn't doing it to establish a stellar, trustworthy reputation, but he's doing it to go get the property back himself from Shimon. Okay. Gemara now asks, Maskif lo Rami Bachom, Rami Bachom asks the following question. Michti, let's take a look and see. Hai lokeach b'may koni l'hai ara. When we're saying now, according to Rav, that Shimon actually acquired this property because, as Rav explained and was explained by Rav Ashi, he wants to establish himself as having a stellar reputation. He wants to be a trustworthy person. And therefore, when he went and acquired this field, it was to make sure that Shimon would be happy, and therefore he can't get it back from Shimon. So how exactly did Shimon make a kinyan in this field? After all, it was stolen by Reuven, and it's given over to Shimon, and Shimon never made a valid kinyan. Aitosa says, in Dibra Maskul, Haishtara Chasav Yamahu, that original star, as Gemara is going to say right now, but Haishtara Chasav Yamahu, that star is worthless that Reuven had originally sold the field to Shimon. So how does Shimon actually acquire this field now that Reuven had purchased it from Levi? So Tosa says, Vim Toma, maybe, Vilemo, Dukoni Law, Bimasha Hirsi, Bo Achar Shikono Gazlan, maybe, after Reuven purchased the field from Levi, now Shimon made some sort of a kinyan in the field, and that's how Shimon acquires it. Tosa says, no. V'yishloma, d'mashvile mishor shekono ha-gazlon, he shall okeach. No, the Gemara implies that the minute Reuven acquires it, even before Shimon has to make some sort of a kinyan in the karka, Shimon already owns it. Afal pishlo osobo shum maisa, Tosa says. Are you going to say, Tosa says, Vim Tomer, Ma'osav Shahayu Tchila, Malve Nasu Ato Mecher, that money which Shimon had paid to Reuven originally for field, but of course he didn't get it because it was stolen, so that is like a milva now, and it's that money that now goes from being a milva into being a sale, a mecher. So Tosa says, that can't be it either. V'yesh lomar, v'asru d'lokonu b'kaspa, that we're dealing with a place that you can't acquire with money. You have to go make a kinyan. Or alternatively, Tosa says, Inami, b'milva, and yochel liknos. Or with a milva, you can't go and acquire it. Just like you can't marry a woman with a milva, so you can't go and acquire this with a milva. So in any event, we're dealing over here, how does Shimon make a kinyan in this field? Someone like Rava. Rava says, Rava tells Rami Bacham, who asked this question, Tehei b'mamino. Let Rav's explanation of this property now belonging to Shimon via the fact that he believes Reuven, and that Reuven is going out of his way to go get this property for him. So now, with that hanah that he gets, b'hau hanah, the lo karmel midi, that he's getting this, he doesn't have to do anything for it, but Reuven is going to work hard to go get it for him, that hanah that he gets, because samech alei, and he's relying upon this previous ganav to go and do the right thing. So Torah humaisile, from the fact that this ganav is going to exert himself over here to go get the property from Reuven, that hanah that Shimon gets from seeing him do that, gomar umakdile, that hanah, so Reuven says, that hanah that you're getting, that's the mechanism that you're making a kinyan in this field. And that's how Shimon gets it. That's how Rav explains it. Rav Sheshes doesn't like this. Masa Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes questions Rav, and he says, "Mashi irash me abba mochuloch." If a person were to say to somebody else, "That which I will eventually inherit from my father, I'm selling to you." Now he doesn't own it right now; it belongs to his father. He says, "Eventually, I'm going to inherit my father." This guy, he's only son. He knows he's going to inherit the father. He says, 20 years from now, when my father's 120, I go inherit this from my father, and I'm selling it to you now." Or he says, "Mashi tale mitzudasi mochuloch," or something that I will eventually catch. He's a fisherman, or he's a trapper, and something that I will eventually catch, I'm selling to you. In that situation, lo amar klum. This is a davar shel oboli olam, and the Tana of this Brisa says you don't acquire it. Then you can't sell something that's a davar shel oboli olam. So lo amar klum. However, the Brisa says if he qualifies it, he says mashi irash min abba hayom mochuloch, and we'll have to explain why this is different. We'll do this in a few minutes. So if the person says, "I'm selling to you what I'm going to inherit from my father today," obviously the father's on a deathbed, he's a shchiv meirah, he's expecting Nebuch to die, and the person says, "That which I'm going to inherit from my father today, I'm selling to you now, before the father passes away," or "Masha tale mitzudasi ayom," he's going fishing right now, and he says, that I'm going to catch today, right now, in this net, or this trap that I'm catching these animals, machaloch, I'm selling to you before I trapped it, so devarav kayom, these two things, as opposed to the first two cases, these last two, where it's Mashi Irash Ben Abba Hayom, or Mashi Talim Mitzudasi Hayom, that are occurring today, Dvar Kayom, in fact, they're a valid sale. But the ones that he just said, that which I will inherit at some point in the future, that which I will trap at some point in the future, that's not considered something that he can sell, Lo Amar Klum. So Rav Sheshes says, you clearly see that Reuven can't go and sell to Shimon something now, which he doesn't have right now. So when Reuven sold this property, which he doesn't own right now, to Shimon, he later on can't get it to him without Shimon making a real kinyan in the field. So Rav Sheshes doesn't like what Rav had said. Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Taka, Rav Sheshes is right. Ha Gavra, he's the man. Rav Sheshes is a great person. The Ha Tiyufta, and he schlugged up Rav. So Rava responds and he says, he's a great man, but he hasn't shlugged me up. I'm a Rava. Yeah, Gavra Kochsina. I do see a great person. Rav Sheshes is a great person. However, his kasha on me, utiyufta lo kochsina. But I don't see his kasha on me. Because the difference over here is, hocha somcha daite. When Rav said that he's able to go and sell this to Reuven, the kinyan is made with Reuven because he's matriach himself. So hocha somcha daite. In this situation, Shimon is seeing all the effort that the Reuven, the Ganav, is putting into getting him back to field, and he's so mechtaita that he's going to get it for me, and therefore he can be konin. As opposed to in this Braisa, v'ochalosom chadaita, in the first scenario where he says, whatever will come eventually that I trap, or whatever I will eventually go and inherit, so you'll get it. So the person who's trying to buy this really doesn't expect it. Maybe he won't inherit it. Maybe the father will lose the property. Maybe the father will sell the property. Who says this guy's going to trap anything in the future? Who says he's going to be successful? He's not even putting out his nets. So therefore, he's not so mechtayas. And therefore, that explains why in the first part of the Braisa, Lo Amar Klum, he doesn't acquire anything. Whereas in our case, he would acquire it because Somach Daite. Shimon is really looking at Reuven and seeing how hard he's working, and he's Somach Daite. He's trusting him that he's going to get it. And therefore, hocha somcha daite. In our case over here, the azul taruch ha'maisile, when Shimon sees Reuven really going and exerting himself, ki hech de lo nikrai gazlana, so he shouldn't be called a gazlan. Here, it's interesting, they go back to the reasoning of Marzutra. I'm not sure why it didn't say over here that he should be trustworthy and a stellar reputation, but in any event, it says he shouldn't be called a ganav. That's why Shimon could acquire it. But in the first part of the Braisa, he has no expectation that the guy will really inherit his father. The father's a healthy young guy. Who says he's going to inherit him? Maybe he'll sell the product. Who says he's going to be a trapper? Right now he doesn't have nets. He doesn't have any trapping experience. So that's why lo amar klum. The Gemara says, Shalchua lekamed Rabbi Abba Bar Zava. They sent this question that Rav Sheshes had asked on Rava to Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. And Amar lo, he said, Zu eina tzrich lefnim. We don't need this inside. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi has two pshatim over here. In Dibur HaMaschil, Ein Hatzricha Lefnim, three lines on the bottom. So the first pshat in Rashi is, Ein Hatzricha, necessary, L'tarzo L'chnis L'fnei B'nei Yeshiva, to bring this question into the B'nei Yeshiva, She'ein Bem Yodea L'Porka. Nobody in the Yeshiva is going to know the answer to this question. In other words, the first version over here is Rav Sheshes has shlugged up Rava. However, he brings down Rashi from the Shuvas HaGaonim, Parshin Lignai, they say no, that Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda was dismissing this question. It was Lignai, negative. The Lekha Kusha, it's not even a Kusha, Ma'alya. It's not a good question. Al Talu Ligyo, don't bring it inside to the base of Medrash. It's such a lousy question. Amar Rava, Rava said, no, Zutzricha Lifnim Vilifnai Vilifnim. The Rava said, no, this was a good question to bring inside, but there's a good answer to it. And because the difference is, in Rav's case, where Shimon has seen Reuven being matriach, so he trusts him, he's somech dayit on him, and that's how he can make the kinyan. However, in the first part of the brayso, there is no expectation that the guy will eventually inherit anything, that will eventually trap something. Maisa shohaya, hava umda b'pumadisa, there once was a maisa in pumadisa, v'osvei, and this was brought up, and they wanted to pass on like Rav, and Rav Yosef brought down Rav Sheshes' challenge. And Amru Rav Yosef, so they said to Rav Yosef, Zu ena tzricha lifnim, don't bring this question inside, either because it's such a good question and there's no teretz to it, or, as Rashi had said, it's such a lousy question and there's an obvious teretz to it. But Amru Abayi, here Abayi is the one that gives the teretz, tzricha lifnim, lifnai lifnim. No, it's good to bring it to the yeshiva and even bring it lifnai lifnim, which is an expression of like the holy of holies. So it's such a good question, however, there's a good answer. Hocha somcha daite, hocha lo somcha daite. Again, in Rav's case, Shimon sees Reuven being matriach himself, and that's how he's so mechtaz that he's going to get it, and that's how the kinyan is made. However, hocha lo somcha daite. But in the case where the guy says, whatever I will eventually have, whatever I'll eventually trap, so the guy really has no expectation that he's really going to inherit anything or trap anything, and that's why it's as if lo amar klum, and he wasn't so mechtaz, and there is no kinyan. The Gemara says, let's look at that brayso that the Rav Sheshes brought down. Remember, the first two cases were Mashirish Miaba in general, Mashatala Mitzudasi in general, Lo Maklum. But if he said Mashirish Miaba Hayom, or Mashatala Mitzudasi Hayom, then in fact, Machaloch, it is a good sale. So, Umayshna Reisha, where it's not a good sale, Umayshna say that it is a good sale. What difference does it make if he says Bayom? So, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, no, that's exactly what we've been talking about. Seifor is the guy is going and his father's on his deathbed. So, Mashirish Miaba Hayom, so therefore, it is a valid sale. Why? Because Nebuch, the father, is expected to die. And why does the son need the money? What's the son rushing around on the day Nebuch, his father, is dying to go get cash to sell off something? Because Mishum Kavod Aviv. Because Nebuch, he needs to bury his father. As Rashi says, Kishayo Aviv Goses, his father's deathly ill. He's a Goses who's going to die within a very short period of time. Vitzorich Mos Likvuroso. And he needs money, Nebuch, to go and bury his father. Ulutachrichen. And for the shrouds. So Musar Lechavod Aviv Shalolash So therefore, this situation, the deal does go through because he's so mechdas that this guy is definitely going to go and inherit today. And in order for there to be not a lack of cover for the father, that he should have tachrichim and a burial. So therefore, it is a valid sale. Similarly, mashatala mitzos hayom, when the person says, whatever I will trap today, so obviously, this guy is desperate. He's selling already his trappings that he's going to catch, the fish or the animals that he's going to trap. So he's already selling them. Why? We turn to Tez Zayin Omid Beis. The reasoning is because Mishum Kidei Chayav. The guy's never broke. As Rashi says, when he sells this over here, Tiknu Chacham Yishu Dvar Kayamin, we allow the sale to go through because Shema Tzari Chulim is onus. This guy is desperate. He needs food. He needs even a little bit of food he doesn't have. However, Misha Talib Mitzudasi Kochodesh, he sells something for next year, next month, next week. So then, that obviously this person doesn't need it right now, and therefore that isn't something that we're so mechdas on. Mor continues and tells us, Rav Huna is the name of Rav, Omer Chaveiro, if a person says to his friend, Sodesh Ani Lokeach, this field which I will purchase, Likisha Ekocheno, when I go and purchase it, Kenuya Lechomi Ashav. It will in fact be yours from now. So I'm going to purchase it tomorrow, but you're going to be considered to get it right now. So then, Kona, in fact, this is a valid kinyan. Rav Huna says the name of Rav, this is a valid kinyan. As Rashi says, when he goes and actually acquires it, he can't go and retract it. What we're saying over here is that he tells him, this would be yours as if it's from right now. As soon as he gets it, so then he can't retract this. Kona, as Rashi says, if and when he does get it, and he can't go back on it. Now, the Mefarshim point out, Rashi points out, says, when he gets it, but up until he gets it, he actually could back out. But in any event, that's what Rav Huna Amar Rav says, and Rava explains, Amar Rava, Mistavra Milso Derav Misodestam. Rava says, what Rav is Mistama saying is only if it's a Sodestam. As Rashi says, saw that a field, Shani Lokeach, Lo Amalo Zu, and he didn't say this specific field. In other words, this person will now say, listen, there's lots of real estate out there. If you can't get field A, you'll get field B. If you can't get field B, you'll get field C. If you can't get field C, you'll get field D. So therefore, the Somcha Daiti, the Makabo Matona, Lismocholov. He knows that he'll eventually get a field, and therefore, he is so mechtas on it. Sheikach saw David Nelo, that the guy will go and get some field and give it to him. Because Shabi saw those Mitsuyos Likach. There are many fields out there that he could purchase. But back to the Gemara, and we'll keep a hand on Rashi over here. Avo besaw the zoo. If he says this specific field and low, then he's not so mechtas. Rashi says, Avo Amalo saw the zoo, lo somcha daite. Why? The Makabo Matana, this Makabo Matana is not expecting this deal to come through. Below Amino, he doesn't really believe that this guy's going to be successful getting this one particular field. Because the name, he says, Nihale de Laku Bemnuse. Because he wants to be trustworthy, however, but Rab's idea that he wants to be trustworthy can't apply when it's one specific field. Who says that the guy is going to go and sell in that field? As the Gemara continues, so this guy tells his friend, oh, when I get this specific field, I'm going to give it to you as a matana. The guy is not so mech on his das. He says, what's the likelihood of him buying that particular field? The guy may not want to sell it. The guy may not give him for that price that he's willing to pay for it. If he says a field, yeah, Mustama, he'll get a field for me. So a field stam, that's when this would apply, but not for a specific field. But then Rava says, well, Kim, it's a lashon of Shvua. Rashi says, Bishvua, that Rav in fact said this, Omar Rav, afilu besaw the zoo, Rav's statement that we brought down, Omar Rav Hun, Omar Rav, Omar L'chaveru, saw the shini lokeach, l'kishek kochenu, k'nu loch miyachshav, is kona even for a saw the zoo. Now, who does Rav hold like that he says this? Michte. Rav, Kiman Amra Lushmaise. Who does Rav hold like that says you can acquire something for somebody else? Even though it's a Dovah Shalom Bali Olam, you can acquire it. So whose Shita is this? So this is the famous Shita of Rabbi Meir. This holds like the Shita of Rabbi Meir that we have throughout Shas, which we'll see in a second. The Omer Odom Makne Dovah Shalom Bali Olam, that a person can, in fact, acquire something that's not yet come to the world. And we see this in the following Machlokas and the Brisa that we bring down between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, we learn the following Brisa. Omer Leisha, if a man goes and wants to be Makadosh a woman, and he says to this woman, Hiskat Shili, become my wife, Li'achar Shez Gaya. Right now he's Chris. And he tells this woman, Sarala, he says to her, Sarala, right now I'm Lugoy, but I'm going to convert. So I want you to be Mekudeshes to me, La'achar Shez Gaya. After I convert, I want the Kedusha that I'm giving you now to be Chal as soon as I convert. Or, Li'achar Shez Gaya. Or, this was Christina, and she's not yet Sarala. And Yankel, this Jew, goes over to Christina and says, here's your Kesef Kedushin for when you convert. Or, Liachar Sheshtachre. Or, if he is an Eved Kenani, and he gives the Kedushin to Sarula, and he says, as soon as I'm freed, this Kedushin should take effect. Or, she's in Shivcha Kenanis, Liachar Sheshtachre. When you become freed, this Kedushin should take effect. Or, Liachar Shomos Balak. She's a married woman. And he says, the Kedushin should take effect when your husband dies. Or, Liachar Sheyachlu So Yavamech. Or, Nebuch, she's waiting to be taken either in Yibum or have Chalitza from her Yavam. And the man gives a kedushin, and he says, this kedushin to take effect after you've had chalitza. Or, liachar shetomos achosech. He's married to her sister, and you're not allowed to go marry your wife's sister. So he goes to his wife's sister and says, here's the kesef kedushin. When your sister dies, you should become mekudeshes to me. So the Chacham say, in every one of these situations, it's a davar shel bal yolam, and ain't mekudeshes. You can't be mekadesh a woman in these scenarios. However, Rav Meir omer mekudeshes, because Rav Meir lishitaso says, so whenever these things do happen, the wife passes away, and the sister now is muteris to him. The man gives her chalitza, and now she's muteris, etc., etc. So Rav Meir would say, mikudeshes. And therefore, when Rav holds like Rav Meir, va'isha kisa dezudamya, these scenarios with the woman where Rav Meir says she's mikudeshes is no different than the case with the field. The Amar Rav Meir mikudeshes, and just like Rav Meir says she's mikudeshes, so in our case of the field, when Rav Huna Amar Rav said sada shani lokeach, even if it's this specific field, l'kishak kochenu, when I purchase it, kinu l'chomiyachshav, I can't retract it. So then it's yours, kana. So that's going according to the sheet of Rav Meir that. Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Shmuel says, Hamotzei shtar hakno bashok. If a person finds the shtar hakno, we had this in the previous shiurim. A shtar hakno, Rashi reminds us, is a shtar shekonu mimenu shafilu lo yilva hamos shibet asmo lishamam. This is something Reuven writes up to Shimon, a document saying that I'm going to borrow from you $100, and he says, even if I don't borrow it from you, I owe you the $100. That's called the shtar hakno. That he's mishabit himself at the time that the shtar is written up, even if he doesn't borrow the money. Now, you find such a shtar haknoah in the street. Hamotzi shtar haknoah b'shuk. So, who do you give it to? You don't know who it belongs to. Does it belong to Reuven or does it belong to Shimon? So, the din is yachziru lebalim. You return it to the person that lent the money. In my scenario, Reuven was borrowing the money from Shimon. So, this shtar haknoah, you return to Shimon. Why? Because the imishum, the kosav lo vosu lo lova. Because what are you concerned about over here? That maybe they wrote up this shtar and then he never borrowed the money. So how can you give it to Shimon? Then he'll go collect with it. But Reuven never got the money. Well, even if Reuven didn't get the money, Hoshi beit nafshi, this is a shtar haknoah. So whether he got the money or not, Reuven states in this shtar, I will pay you the $100. So therefore, Hoshi beit nafshi. You're concerned that it was paid back. Vishum peyron. Maybe, in fact, Reuven gave the $100 to Shimon, and now Shimon has the shtar and will collect with it again? No, we're not concerned about that. Lo chayshinan lepiron. Why are we not concerned? Because the im isa de pare, Shmuel says that if in fact Reuven had paid back Shimon, so then why is it still a shtar? Mikra hava korale. Reuven would have ripped up the shtar. The minute he paid it back, he would have ripped it up. And therefore, if this shtar is found, it must have fallen from Shimon, and therefore it can be given back to Shimon. That's Shmuel psak. Rav Nachman says, my father, Abba, Rav Nachman's talking about his father, min safre dayone demar Shmuel haba. He was one of the scribes in Shmuel's court, and I remember as a little boy, vavinon kibar shisa, kibar sheva, I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I remember, udecharna, I have a clear memory, davul machrezei v'omri, that in the Beis Din they would go and announce, I remember the Beis Din paskening and saying, if anybody finds a shtar haknoah in the street, so you have the right to go and return it to the one who owns this shtar, meaning the one who will get the money from the shtar, and you don't have to worry about maybe it was paid back. No, it would have been ripped up if it had been paid back, and we don't have to be concerned that maybe he somehow dropped it and lost it. So in other words, Rav Nachman says, I remember that was the psak, in fact, in Shmuel's Beis Din from my father, who was one of the scribes over there. And I remember hearing him say this, or I'm hearing them say this when I was a 6 or 7 year old boy. Rav Amram says, Af anan tinina. We have a Mishnah in support of what Rav Nachman and what Shmuel had said. This is a Mishnah we'll learn in a couple of days on Chof Omen Aleph. And it says over there, Kol Maise Beis Din Harei Ze Yachzir. If you find any document that is called a Maise Beis Din, Rashi says, Kosol Kedaitoch Shtar Shekosa Bohenpek. Right now, we're assuming that this is a Shtar that Beis Din authenticated. Sheniskayim Beis Din, and they wrote a certification on the Shtar. Almo, Rashi says, Kivan Deleka Lemechash Lishema lo lova, Beis Din wouldn't go and authenticate this unless the loan actually took place. Shariein mekaimin es hashtar elav nei bal din, they wouldn't have authenticated unless both parties were there. Kedamrinu bagozal, we learned the Gemara in Bava Kama not that long ago, lipiron lo chayshinan. Therefore, we're not concerned that it was paid back. Almo, back to the Gemara, lo chayshinan lipiron. You clearly see that this Mishnah on Daf Chav says that we're not concerned that maybe it was paid back, and therefore you give it to the owner of the shtar, the one who's going to collect with this shtar. In accordance with what Rav Nachman said, that he heard from his father in Shmuel's Beis Din, and in accordance with what Shmuel himself said. Amalei Rabbi Zeira says to Rav Amram, that's not a good proof. That Mishnah on Dav Chof doesn't necessarily prove this. Mas Nisin could be talking about, this Mishnah on Dav Chof could be talking about not an IOU, but it's talking about Bishtare Chaltosa, the Adrachta. It's talking about these two types of shtaros. What's Shtare Chaltosa? So Rashi says, Shtar Shekosu Beis Din Lemotzi Shtar Al Chavero. This is a shtar that Beis Din writes to go and take money, v'chivu l'shalem v'lo shi'im, that Shimon was supposed to pay money to Reuven, and he didn't pay it, v'lo shi'im. And therefore, the Beis Din says, v'yordu l'chos v'shom l'bal chov, Echmeyem. So they went into Shimon's property. He was supposed to pay Shimon, he was supposed to pay money. They went into his properties and they evaluated one of them. The Nosalu Shtar. And they give Reuven a Shtar to say, Sha'al Pi based in Bolo, that this field of Shimon belongs really now to Reuven. That's called a Shtar Chaltosa. What's a Shtar Adrachta? So the next Rashi says, Shalom Motzlo Lakshav Nechosim. They didn't find that Shimon had any properties. So they write a generic Shtar for Reuven, Vikosulo, Sheyirdov Lachzor Al Nechosim, that he has the right to go and see if Shimon ever gets a property, the Mimotse, and if he do find such a property, Yigove, he has the right to go and collect it. So these types of Shtaros, Rabbi Zera said, is what the Mishnah on Dat Chof is talking about. And only a shtar chaltoso or a shtar adrachta is allowed to be given back to the person who would be able to collect with it. Because the lav bnei peiro ninhu. Because it can't be used to actually go and collect money. All it does is establishes that the beis din proved that this was supposed to be done. Now, Tosos in the Ramasu b'shtari chaltoso v'adrachta says, shtari adrachta amai lo bnei peiro ninhu. He disagrees and says, that the adrachta, that's a real document to go collect with. So after a hoshach l'tayyeh, Tosa says, at the very end, he has v'yesharam de lo gasin adrachta. There's some gemaras, there's some girsos over here that don't have the word adrachta. No, so even if you leave that out, so it's only talking about shtare chal ta'osa. So the Gemara questions this and says, really? That's not a shtar that's b'nei piro ninu? I'm a rabba. V'hani la b'nei piro ninu? Is this shtar chal ta'osa? And certainly the adrachta, aren't they able to be collected? Behold, Ami Nardoi, the Nardoi said, the people in Nardoi said, Shuma, if they're based and evaluated this field and says that it's worth X amount of money and he's allowed to go and collect it because that's the money that he's owed. So, Hodar Atresa Yarachishosa. When Reuven goes and collects this field from Shimon, so in Nardoi they said, Shimon has 12 months to find the cash, and if he finds the cash that he owed in the 12-month period of time, he's entitled to get that field back. And even more so, Yomar Meimar, Anan, Minardoi, Anah, we in Nardoi held differently. We say, Usviru li, the Shuma, Hodr Liolim. He says that in Nardoi, they held that the Shuma could be returned at any point in time. 5 years later, if the guy finally gets the money that he was owed, so he's entitled to get that property back because he gives them now the money that he had owed them. So, how can you say that this isn't something that's b'nei piron? So you write, El Omar Rava. Rava says, Hasam Hainu Taima. The reason why in the Mishnah we give the documents back, Komase Beisdin, Hare Zeyachzir, is because the Amre, Ihu, the Absid Anavshe. It's because the person caused his own problem. He caused himself this financial loss. Why? Because the Be'idna de Pare, as soon as he paid it back, he should have ripped it up right away. And if he doesn't rip it up right away, and then it gets lost, so then, yeah, they're going to give it back to the guy, and he'll collect for him potentially a second time if he's not an Erlucha guy. But it was his own fault. He should have ripped the document up right away. Or, let's say the guy claimed he didn't have that document anymore, and the one who's paying him is an honest guy. He says, okay, I really owe you the money. Even though you don't have the document, I'm going to pay you. But he should have said in that situation, Inami, L'michtav shtara achrino ilave. He should have written a new document saying that I, in fact, paid you the money. So he can't collect from it a second time. So therefore, he caused his own loss. And that's why the Mishnah on Dav Chav says, Komase Basin, Hareza Yachse. You go and return it. But it's not a raya to Shmuel. And the Gemara says, and this is why he was able to go and demand, Inami lemichtav shtar achrina ilave, this is why. Because the Medina, the halacha is, Aru l'boy l'mahadar. Technically, once he gives over that land, he doesn't have the right to go get it back. So no, how come we allowed to get it back in our day? They said even for 12 months, and then we brought down from a Mamer that forever he still has the right to get it back. That's based upon this concept, the very famous pasuk, Mishum v'yosisa ha-yoshor v'yatov b'yenei Hashem. A person should always do what's right in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do we define what's right in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, who the Amir Rabbanon Tihader? The rabbis therefore said, in this situation, this guy really wasn't entitled to the field. He was entitled to money. And therefore, the right thing to do is when the guy gets the money, to go give him back his field. Because Bistam, he has a connection to that field. Maybe it's an ancestral field. Maybe it was his father's field. It's been in his family for years. Well, you just got it. You were only really entitled to money. No, the guy didn't have money, so he got the field. But as soon as he gets the money, you should do the right thing. By giving him back his field. And therefore, since he could claim his field back, so if he didn't get a new shtar, so then, mistama, in fact, he didn't really pay it back. He should have gotten a new shtar, and he caused himself his own loss. If he really did pay it back, he should have gotten a new shtar. Therefore, Gabi shtar chov, in regards to a shtar chov, Michael Amemra, what is he going to say? That it wasn't paid back? So, im iso de pare, if it had been paid back, it should have been ripped up. Ibaile limikroi lishtari, he should have ripped it up. Amor, maybe though, however, ishtamute komishtamitle, we don't say in regards to shtar chov, he should have definitely ripped it up. Because you know what? Maybe in this situation, because the guy who is paying back can say, I don't have the shtar on me right now. I'll give it to you tomorrow, but thanks for giving me the money. But I'll give you the shtar tomorrow. And then he never gives it to him tomorrow. And then when it's lost, it really was paid back. If we give it back to him again, he'll be able to collect a second time. Because he may have also said, the hashtag, let's say goodbye. I don't have it with me right now. Inami, alternatively, he could have said, apshite de safra zoyule. I'm waiting till you pay for the rights of writing it up. You were supposed to pay for the sofer to write up this IOU. You were the one that was benefiting from the money, so you have the cost to go and pay for the IOU to be written up. But you didn't have the money for that, so I laid that out as well. So I laid out $10 to write it up, plus the $100 I lent you. No, you only paid me back the $100. I'll give you back the shtar when you pay me the additional $10. And no, maybe he never gave him the additional $10, and now the shtar is lost if we go and return it to him. So in fact, he's going to collect on it a second time. So therefore, in regards to a shtar chov, we can understand why we don't give it back. But in regards to the shtare adrachta or the shtare chalta asa, there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to go give it back. Therefore, we can't necessarily support Shmuel from this Mishnah, because the Mishnah could only be talking about very specific scenarios. Mark continues and questions this and says, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yavo is the name of Yochanan. In fact, Shmuel is wrong. Hamotzei shtar chov bashuk, if you find the shtar chov in the street, even a regular shtar chov, even if it has basin certification on it, nevertheless, lo yachziru lebalim. You don't go give it back to the balim. Because, lo mibaya, we certainly don't give it back if it wasn't certified by the basin. Because the eco lemeima, because we could certainly say, maybe the shtar was written up, not as a shtar akna, but as a potential shtar, and then it was never used. So if you now give it back to the guy, he never gave him the money, and now he's going to collect. But even Ella Afilu Kosu Bohempik, even it was certified, which was reported down for Rashi before, means that the loan actually took place. Nevertheless, Umay Niu Dibakuyam, what does this Hempik means? It means that all it is that it was verified that this loan took place, and these are the authentic signatures. But nevertheless, Lo Yasir, but you still can't give it back because all it does is authenticate the original shtar. But maybe it was dropped by the one who paid it back. And therefore, the Chayshina Lepiron. Rabbi Yavo, Amar Yochanan says, we are concerned. Not like Shmuel says, we're not concerned. Rabbi Yochanan holds that we are concerned. Chayshinon lepiron. Because he's saying, I paid it back. So therefore, you can't assume that in fact it wasn't paid back. Now, that's what Rabbi Yavo is saying to Rabbi Yochanan. Asa Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yavo. Rabbi Yirmiyah doesn't understand this. He questions this and he says, wait a second. We learned in the Mishnah on Dav Chof. Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan is a great thing that Rabbi Yochanan said this, but he's an Amora, a great Amora, but he doesn't argue with the Mishnah. Ain't Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yavo, but call my Sebeis and I raise the Yasir. What are you doing with the Mishnah on Dav Chof Amud Aleph? How does Rabbi Yochanan answer that? So he gives the same answer we gave before. Amalei, Rabbi Yavo says, Yirmiyah Bari, Yirmiyah my son, left after he was really his son, is his Talmud, and he calls him his son. Lo kol ma'aseh beistim shavim. When we said over there about ma'aseh beistim, harezeh yatzir, it's not talking about every ma'aseh beistim. Elik agon, shehusach kapron. There we said, you go give it back, is when the baldin is husach. He's known to be a kapron. He is a person who is a liar. And therefore, in that situation, harezeh yatzir, you give it back to the person who is owed money, and therefore, that is the exception to the rule, because it was certified by basis, so we know it was a real loan, and since the person who borrowed the money is known to be huchsach kafran, he's known not to be an honest person, so therefore we give it back in this situation to the one who owns the IOU, who is to be paid. That's what Rabbi Avo responded to Rabbi Yirmiyah to say that the Mishnah on Dav Chof is not a kasha. Rabbi says, wait a second, umishum duchsach kafran chod zimra, just because this guy has been known to be not an honest person, not an erlich person in the past. So, too low paraklal. So, he's never, ever going to believe again to say that I paid it back. Why aren't we choshesh lepiron over here? So, therefore, Ella Omer Rava says, the reason why it's not a kasha from the Mishnah on Dav Chof is the reason that we said before. Because the Mishnah on Dav Chof is masnisin bishtar chalto osa v'yadrachta. that Mishnah is talking about these types of documents that aren't for Piron, Uchid Rabbi Zera, like we explained according to Rabbi Zera a few minutes ago. Now, the Gemara now says, once we started talking about this non-Erlich guy, we'll learn some dinim about a kofer, about a non-Erlich guy. No, the kafron whole vasali adon name of a milsa. Since this subject about a person who's not an Erlich guy, he's a liar, came up, so let's talk a little bit about it. Let's say another memra about such a person. Let us say the Amr of Yosef bar Minyumi, Amr of Nachman. Rav Yosef bar Minyumi said in Rav Nachman, Amru lo, if the Beis Din told the person who owes money, let's say Shimon owes money to Reuven, and they say, tain lo, Shimon, go give him money, and return to Yizayin with Aleph. But Shimon says, Yoma parati. Shimon says, I paid it, after, not right then and there, after some period of time, when they say, no, Shimon, pay up, and Shimon says, I paid up, so Nemon, he's believed. Now, he'll have to make a Shua, he'll have to make a Shua's Hesis, but he is believed, and he won't have to pay. However, if the Malveh, the one who's owed the money, comes and says, Ba Malveh Lichtov, he says, I want you to write up that he owes me the money, so ain't kosher. Then we don't write it. This is, again, after a while, Rashi says, La'achar Zman, we don't write it up. V'nosalo, we don't write it up and give it to him because maybe it was already paid back. There was time for it to pay it back, and now, at a later point in time, we can't go and write it up. As Rashi says, Ba Malveh Lifonenu Lichtov Lov Adrachta Olov Ain Kosev Nosalo, because maybe it was already paid back. Now, that's when the Beis Din used the Lashon of Tse Tainlo. They told Shimon, go and pay up. So Mestama, Shimon went and paid up. However, if the Beis Din had just said to Shimon, Chayev Atulitinlo, we think at this point in time that you're obligated to go and pay him, but they didn't say go and pay him. In that situation, the Omar Parati, if Shimon says, I paid it up, later on, after a while, he says, I paid it up, Eino Nemon, then in that situation is not believed, even if he makes a Shvua. Rashi says, Eino Nemon Lishaba, Elo Shekinegdo Nishba. In that situation, we would make Reuven, the one who's owed the money, make the Shvua, Venotel, and take it. Why? The Kivan de Tchilasu Hutzrach Litovo Ledin. Since he originally had to go and bring him to a din to say, go and pay, Ain Darko Lemaya Lefro. It's very unusual for Shimon to pay until he's told to pay. Achi Yivsiku Dino Psach Gomer. And therefore, if he claims that he paid it back, he's already a shady character. And therefore, we don't allow him to swear, and we'll put the shvua on Reuven, and Reuven can swear he wasn't paid, and he'll collect in that situation, because Shimon is already suspect that he's telling us not the truth. In this situation, if Ba Malveh Lichtov, if Reuven, the Malveh, says, nu, write up a shtar for me, so then Kos for the Noslo, because Beis Din never told him to actually go and pay. They just said, we think that the halach is going to be that you have to pay, but we didn't paskin it yet, and therefore, there's no way that he paid up until he's definitely told, say, v'tainlo, and therefore, in this situation, they will write up a document for Reuven to say that Shimon owes him the money. Now, this was the way Rav Yosef bar Minyumi learned Rav Nachman. However, Rav Zvid, Mishmeid Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Zvid learned it a differently, and he learned Rav Nachman saying, whether Bain say tainlo, whether the Bain actually said, go and pay, or Bain chayev atalitino, we think that you're going to have to go and pay, but we haven't paskin yet. Nevertheless, if Shimon says, well, I'm a parati, at a later point in time, he says, I paid, then what? He's believed. Why wouldn't he? The court told me to go pay, so I paid. Whether he said the lashon of actually go and pay, or we think you're going to have to pay, so a person doesn't make such a distinction. And he says, Beis Din told me to pay, and therefore, he's not considered to be somebody that inappropriately paid and is therefore lying about it, because nobody does that. Ella, in this situation, we believe him to say that he paid. And in this situation, if the Malveh says, I want you to write a document for me that Shimon owes me the money, the Beis Din won't do this, ain't close with no slow, because maybe he already paid it back, and now the guy's going to use this document to go collect the second time. Now, Elo, but if there is a machlokis over here, this is the machlokis. This is where you make a fine line over here, a fine distinction between these two. Amrulo, say tainlo, if the Beis Din told this person, Shimon, go and pay him, the Amar Parati, and he says, I paid him, like the Beis Din told me to, but then Edom come along, the Edom, and Edom come along and say, no, you did not pay him. And then, the Chaz of Amar Parati, some aren't Goris this, but we can Goris it, it doesn't really change it around, and he says, no, I did pay him back already. So then, Huchsa Kafrin, the Edom said he didn't pay him back. So he's considered a Vaday lawyer over here. He's a Huchsak, is a Kafrin, La'osamama, not for a future case, for this case over here. This guy is a liar, and therefore, he will have to pay the money. But if Bezin said, Chayev Atolitelo, if the court told him, we think you're obligated to go and give him the money, and then he says, Yoma Parati, and he says, I paid it back as I was told to, but Edom Eden Soshalopara. But here the Edom say, no, he didn't pay as well. And he says, no, again, I did pay. Again, Samar encourages this. Lohuchzak Kafrin, the Osobaman. He's not considered in this situation where they said, you have to pay the money, Chayavatolitelo, but they didn't say the Telo. Here, he's not considered a Kafrin. Why is that? What's the difference between say and tain versus them just saying, did you owe the money? Chayavatolitelo. Because my time, what's the difference? In the second case, where they just used the lashon of chayev atolitin lo, so maybe in this situation, he's just trying to push it off. He doesn't have the money right now, and he's just using this as an excuse. Yeah, I paid you, but he's really going to go pay him when he gets the money. And sovar ad demayinu bei rabbanim bedine, because maybe they're going to say, we looked into the din, and in fact, that which we thought you're obligated to pay, we changed our mind. So therefore, he's pushing it off to either they paskin definitively, and then he'll have the money. So therefore, that's why he's not considered a kafron in the second part, where it's that's what Rav Zvid is saying is the difference between, say, tenlo versus chayev atulitenlo. Similarly, Amar Rabba Barachan Amar Rav Yochanan, Rabba Barachan is saying Rav Yochanan, if a person says, mana li biyotcha, Reuven goes to Shimon and says, you have a mana of mine, v'alo omer, and Shimon answers, ein l'cho biyodi klum, I have nothing of yours. But then Edom come along, Edom association. Edom say, yeah, you do. You owe him the money. You're wrong for denying that you owe him the money. And then, then he says, yeah, but I paid it back. So then, this guy's a liar. Huchsak Kafrin, he's established as a liar because he said that the loan didn't occur. And now he's saying, I paid it back. So, Huchsak Kafrin, for that specific money, he's considered a liar and he's not believed. Similarly, ki had the Shabsai berei the Rav Morianus. There once was a Maaseh Shoya with Shabsai, who was the son of Rabbi Morianus. Now, cause of law lechalase, he co-signed the ksuba for his daughter-in-law, and in it he said he would give her itzdala de milsa biksuvasa. And he said, I'll give you a very nice garment, I'll give you a fur coat, a wool coat over here as part of your ksuba. And he said, yes, I accept upon myself responsibility for this, even though it's my son who's marrying her, but I accept upon myself the responsibility to pay her this fur coat, this wool coat, this nice coat. And then she loses the ksuba. Irkas tsubasa, never this Shabsai's son dies, and he now has to pay the ksuba. And Omar Luhu, he goes and tells the court, Lohi Udrabi Yolam, nope, never happened. She doesn't have a ksuba. I never, ever said I would give her a fur coat. Now, witnesses come along and say, that's not true. Asu Sadavi Amre, yeah, in Kosovo. They said, yeah, we were there at the Ksuba, and we saw that he, in fact, did say that he would give her a fur coat. Now, what does he do? This Shabsai goes along and says, so far, Malahu Parati, I gave her the fur coat already. I gave her, and therefore, I don't have to give her another one. So in this situation as well, also the coming of Ruchia, they came in front of Ruchia to Paskin, and Amalei Ruchia said, this guy's established himself as a liar. First he said, no such thing happened. I never owed her for a coat. Now he's saying he paid it back? So, Huchsa Kafron, this guy is considered to be a kofer, he's considered to be a liar, La'oso Itzla, in regards to this Itzla, not necessarily in regards to anything else, but therefore, we don't believe him at all in regards to this garment. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.